Here's an opportunity for you to get up to 75% off many of the resources you hear us promote on Issues Etc. It's Concordia Publishing House's warehouse sale from 8 in the morning till noon on Saturday, November 3rd. Concordia Publishing House is located south of Interstate 44 at 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis. The 2012 warehouse sale, Saturday morning, November the 3rd at Concordia Publishing House, 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis.
This debate is indeed historic. We have two Catholic candidates, first time on a stage such as this. And I would like to ask you both to tell me what role your religion has played in your own personal views on abortion. Please talk about how you came to that decision. Talk about how your religion played a part in that. Please talk personally about this, if you could.
Samantha Raddatz, ABC News Senior Foreign Affairs Correspondent, also moderator of last Thursday's vice presidential debate, asking a question. I said, finally, when I heard her pose this as the last series of questions, we're going to get to something that not only I understand, but that I think ought to matter ultimately to the entire electorate. When we go into a presidential debate, two very different positions taken by the two tickets, but two different positions taken by two candidates that are members of the same communion, of the same church, Vice President Biden and Representative Paul Ryan, both being Roman Catholic politicians. Joining us to hear those answers and respond to them, Dr. Frank Beckwith, a regular guest professor of philosophy and church-state studies at Baylor University and author of several books, including Politics for Christian Statecraft as Soulcraft. Frank, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Well, thanks for having me.
I was relieved to hear the question asked, and I think probably at least pretty honest answers given by both men. Did we get an accurate picture of what we should call the spectrum of the Roman Catholic politician in the answers of these two vice presidential candidates?
I think we did. I mean, I did think we got the at least two of the most dominant positions among Catholic politicians. I will say, though, that that in the case of the vice president, he didn't get the church's view right, but that wouldn't be the first time a Catholic didn't get the church's view right on a particular matter, that's for sure. But yeah, I mean, one of the things that you see, especially in American politics, is this, and you find this among politicians not only who are Catholic, but who belong to other Christian communions that may have a strong stance against abortion, but in the case, for example, of the vice president, he's making a claim. He's trying to distinguish his views or his personal view from his political view. And in the case of Ryan, I think you had somebody that understood that when you make a theological claim about something being true, that means it counts as true. That is to say, if the church teaches that unborn children are full-fledged members of the human community, that's not a matter of taste or opinion. That is as true as the moon is a satellite of the earth. And I think this is where the deep disagreement is.
Well, let's get into those particulars of that disagreement. And it started with a question that was posed by Martha Raddatz, the moderator of the debate, asking both of the men to talk about what role his Catholic faith has played in his particular position on abortion and how he came to that position. The first answer coming from Representative Ryan.
I don't see how a person can separate their public life from their private life or from their faith. Our faith informs us in everything we do. My faith informs me about how to take care of the vulnerable, about how to make sure that people have a chance in life. Now, you want to ask basically why I'm pro-life? It's not simply because of my Catholic faith. That's a factor, of course. But it's also because of reason and science. You know, I think about 10.5 years ago, my wife Jana and I went to Mercy Hospital in Janesville, where I was born, for our 7-week ultrasound for our firstborn child. And we saw that heartbeat. Our little baby was in the shape of a bean. And to this day, We have nicknamed our firstborn child, Liza, Bean. Now, I believe that life begins at conception. That's why, those are the reasons why I'm pro-life. Now, I understand this is a difficult issue, and I respect people who don't agree with me on this, but the policy of a Romney administration will be to oppose abortion with the exceptions for rape, incest, and life of the mother. What troubles me more is how this administration has handled all of these issues. Look at what they're doing through Obamacare with respect to assaulting the religious liberties of this country. They're infringing upon our first freedom, the freedom of religion, by infringing on Catholic charities, Catholic churches, Catholic hospitals. Our church should not have to sue our federal government to maintain their religious liberties. And with respect to abortion, the Democratic Party used to say they wanted it to be safe, legal, and rare. Now, they support it without restriction and with taxpayer funding. Taxpayer funding in Obamacare, taxpayer funding with foreign aid. The vice president himself went to China and said that he sympathized or wouldn't second guess their one-child policy of forced abortions and sterilizations. That, to me, is pretty extreme.
How do you evaluate Representative Ryan's response to that question?
Yeah, he does a couple of things really well, I think, in terms of articulating the Catholic view on the pro-life position. First thing he does is he says it's just not a matter of dogma or doctrine or what the church says is de fide. That is to say, it's not a doctrine that is necessarily a result of special revelation. It's something that is a result of both reason and science. So he does that, I think, very well. Then he moves on and gives a personal story. So you have the scientific sort of rational argument, explaining how the Catholic view places reason and faith in cooperation with each other. And then he moves on to talk about policy, which is that, and this is where the Catholic view isn't that abortion ought to be permitted in cases of rape and incest, because the child is a human person, and human persons, even if they are sired in circumstances that are wicked, doesn't mean that they don't have the right to life. However, the church also teaches that given the circumstances in which one finds oneself, one should not support a law that advances abortion, but you try to do your best to limit the number of abortions as possible through the law. So what, you know, in terms of the church's teachings, what Ryan is doing here is distinguishing the policy of the Romney campaign is suggesting with by placing it within the parameters of the church's teaching, but not obviously totally in sync with it.
The same question was posed to Vice President Biden: what role his Catholic faith has played in his position on abortion, and how he came to that position.
My religion defines who I am, and I've been a practicing Catholic my whole life, and it has particularly informed my social doctrine. Catholic social doctrine talks about taking care of those who can't take care of themselves, people who need help. With regard to abortion, I accept my church's position on abortion as what we call de fide doctrine. Life begins at conception. That's the church's judgment. I accept it in my personal life. But I refuse to impose it on equally devout Christians and Muslims and Jews. And I just refuse to impose that on others, unlike my friend here, the congressman. I do not believe that that we have a right to tell other people that women, they can't control their body. It's a decision between them and their doctor, in my view. In the Supreme Court, I'm not going to interfere with that. With regard to the assault on the Catholic Church, let me make it absolutely clear. No religious institution, Catholic or otherwise, including Catholic Social Services, Georgetown Hospital, Mercy Hospital, any hospital, none has to either refer for contraception, none has to pay for contraception, none has to be a vehicle to get contraception in any insurance policy they provide. That is a fact. Now, with regard to the way in which we differ, my friend says that well, I guess he accepts Governor Romney's position now, because in the past he has argued that there's rape and forcible rape. He's argued that in the case of rape or incest, it would be a crime to engage in having an abortion. I just fundamentally disagree with my friend.
How do you evaluate the vice president's response, Dr. Beckwith?
Couple of things. First, he's absolutely wrong about the Obamacare. The Obamacare and the HHS mandate, which is part of it, gave the Secretary of Health and Human Services the power, which he has exercised, to only allow a narrow or number of exceptions for the distribution or the paying for contraceptive care and abortifacients. The abortifacients, those are drugs that cause early abortions. He's simply not right about that. I mean, the Catholic bishops of the United States, the next morning issued a press release saying that Vice President Biden simply got it wrong. He either doesn't know the policy or he wasn't telling the truth. I suspect it's the former, not the latter. Concerning the church's view on abortion, a couple of things are important to understand here. One, the church's view is not one that it's not de fide. He's mistaken there. It's a view that is both defensible, obviously, from doctrine, but also in terms of reason and science. Secondly, it sort of startles me to hear a Catholic present the pro-life view with the language of those that oppose the pro-life view. That is, when we talk about the pro-life view, what we're talking about is a position that says all members of the human family should be embraced regardless of their size, level of development, environment, or dependency. But what he's doing is he's framing the pro-life view in the language that of those that deny that the unborn is a full-fledged member of the community, by suggesting that we should be welcoming all members of the community, no matter where they live or their size, is not to impose anything on people. It's, in fact, to offer to them an opportunity to be loving, caring human beings. And the irony, of course, is that by talking about that he's not going to impose his Catholic view on non-Catholics, as he puts it, what in fact the Obama administration is doing is imposing a secular view on the nature of contraception on Catholic institutions and businesses. So it is, it's sort of startling to me that somebody who claims to be a friend of the church offers the church's teachings in the language of its opponents.
Dr. Frank Beckwith is our guest. When we come back 10 more minutes with him, we'll hear more of the responses from the vice presidential debate on Thursday last week regarding the issue of abortion and get his response.
South Africa.
China.
Germany.
Trinidad and Tobago.
Did you know that people listen to Issues Etc. around the world? India.
Sweden. Egypt.
France. Turkey.
Japan. Australia.
Canada. United Kingdom.
Hong Kong. Austria.
Finland. Malaysia.
Singapore. Bulgaria.
Korea.
Brazil.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Help us proclaim Christ to the world.
The Philippines.
Mexico.
Spain.
New Zealand.
Kuwait.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Coming Friday, November 2nd, and Saturday, November 3rd, Issues Etc. 24. It's a live 24-hour broadcast of Issues Etc. from 3 in the afternoon Central Time on November 2nd through 3 in the afternoon Central on November 3rd. Issues Etc. 24, Friday, November 2nd, and Saturday, November 3rd. Listen live at issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Monday afternoon, the 15th of October. We're talking with Dr. Frank Beckwith of Baylor University. He's author of several books, including Politics for Christians, Statecraft as Soulcraft. You can purchase Politics for Christians at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. We're responding to the various answers given in Thursday night's vice presidential debate on the last series of questions on abortion and the Roman Catholic faith from both of the candidates. One other question I had about that of Vice President Biden's response to the first question about the place of his Roman Catholic faith in his position on abortion. And it's difficult for me to tell, so I'd like your opinion.
Sure.
Some people would say, I accept my church's position in my personal life, but I refuse to impose that on anyone else, meaning I believe abortion is wrong,
yes,
but I won't impose that. Or, and here's where my confusion lies, is he saying, well, I accept that that's where my church stands. I can't do much to change it. In my personal life, I'm not gonna have an abortion. He didn't necessarily say he agreed with the church's position. What is your thought there?
That's a very good insight. I think what he's trying to take two positions at the same time. He wants to say, on the one hand, he is a devout Catholic and agrees with the church's teachings. On the other hand, he wants to say, I'm not going to extend those teachings to my public life. Now, what's interesting, and I think this is where your observation I think is important, is that when you say, for example, what is the church's teachings? The church's teaching is that abortion is unjustified homicide. I mean, think about how strange this sounds if we were to apply it to other issues. Imagine if somebody said, look, according to my church's teachings, it's wrong for a husband to beat his wife, so I'm not going to beat my wife. But if my neighbor wants to beat his wife, it would be wrong for me to impose that on my neighbor. I mean, you think, well, that, wait a second, if you think something is wrong, then it is universally wrong in the sense of morally wrong. If I think, for example, it's wrong to torture babies for fun, it's just not wrong for me to do it. It's wrong for everyone to do it. Now, if he means something like, well, I think it's wrong in the sense that, let's say, you know, like a matter of taste or a matter of opinion, you know, I think, you know, the Rolling Stones don't strike me as a great band or something like that. That, you know, in that sense, it's, you know, it's wrong, but I wouldn't want to impose my taste on music on other people. That kind of makes sense because we understand in those areas, yeah, people can have, you know, wide range of opinions and we don't sort of get morally, we don't connect them to moral judgment. But he's in fact doing that. He's saying, look, I accept the church's moral judgment, and yet I don't think it's true, which is just, I don't understand that. I mean, to believe that something is in fact true means that you in fact believe that it's something that everyone ought to practice. Now, there could be situations, and I think this is the position of the Romney campaign, or even Paul Ryan in particular, he believes that abortion is always wrong. Now, he understands, though, that American society is perhaps not ready for that sort of very strong pro-life legislation, so he's willing to allow for exceptions. But the willing to allow for the exceptions is not because he believes there's a right to abortion or abortion isn't wrong, but that being pro-life as a culture involves not only the law, but a change of heart as well, and this would be a move in that direction. There's nothing indicating in Biden's comments that that's what he's thinking. I mean, we've come a long way from the 28 years ago when Mario Cuomo, former governor of New York, offered a speech, gave a speech, I think, at the University of Notre Dame on this matter, and he was very emphatic. I think abortion is murder. And so there's a so you've even now lost that that strong sense of the wrongness of it. And there was a sense too in Cuomo's speech, a kind of tragic aspect to this debate. You don't sense any of that in Biden. It just seems to be something that he's not thought through very well.
The other question that was posed to both of the candidates was, should the Romney-Ryan ticket be elected? Should those who want to keep Roe v. Wade the law of the land be worried?
All I'm saying is if you believe that life begins at conception, that therefore doesn't change the definition of life. That's a principle. The policy of a Romney administration is to oppose abortion with exceptions for rape, incest, and life of the mother. Now, I've got to take issue with the Catholic Church and religious liberty.
You have.
If they agree with you, then why would they keep suing you? It's a distinction without a difference. We don't think that unelected judges should make this decision, that people, through their elected representatives and reaching a consensus in society through the democratic process, should make this determination.
What did you make of his answer, in particular the last part where he talks about unelected judges making this decision?
Yeah, what he's doing there, he's referring to Roe v. Wade. I wish that Ryan had a little bit more clear here, because the assumption in the dialogue was that if Roe v. Wade were overturned, abortion would become illegal. That's not true. All that Roe v. Wade said was that the right of privacy is extended to include the right of abortion, and that means that restrictions on abortions in all the states were unconstitutional, or virtually all of them. But all that Roe v. Wade's overturning would do was send the issue back to the states, and so it wouldn't make. So I would suspect that a state like New York or California would still have legal abortion, but states like Mississippi and Texas would have stronger regulations on abortions, perhaps outlawing most of them. So I wish that Ryan would have made a distinction between Roe v. Wade and the legalization of abortion. But in terms of what he was saying about judges, what he was saying is that, and I think he's right here, when Roe v. Wade was decided, it was not decided based on anything in the Constitution. That is, the Constitution doesn't address health policies. It simply puts in place principles of government that involve a separation of powers and certain fundamental rights. And one of the fundamental rights, or none of the fundamental rights in the Constitution, include a right to abortion. And so what Ryan was suggesting there is that judges making stuff up is not the way to go on these issues. I wish he had been a little stronger, in asserting that, because that's precisely what he was, I think, trying to say.
Okay, this is Vice President Biden's response to the same question.
The next president will get one or two Supreme Court nominees. That's how close Roe v. Wade is. Just ask yourself, with Robert Bork being the chief advisor on the court for Mr. Romney, who do you think he's likely to appoint? Do you think he's likely to appoint someone like Scalia or someone else on the court far right that would outlaw abortion? I suspect that would happen. I guarantee you that will not happen. We pick two people. We pick people who are open-minded. They've been good justices. So keep an eye on the Supreme Court.
Was there a litmus test on them?
There was no litmus test. We picked people who had an open mind, did not come with an agenda.
Okay, what do you make of the Vice President's response? We've got about a minute here.
Well, he's absolutely mistaken about Roe v. Wade. Roe v. Wade, if it were overturned, would not make abortion illegal. He's wrong about that, and it's interesting. He mentioned Scalia, and I'm not sure whether he was in the U.S. Senate, but I've got it right here. Thank you for the internet. I'm at loc.gov, and I have the Scalia vote, and Biden voted for Scalia to be on the court. So, he should explain, why did he vote for Justice Scalia, a right-wing judge? It was a 98-0 vote in 1986 when President Reagan appointed him. So, I'm not quite sure how he rectifies his claim about Scalia being inappropriate for the court with his own vote for Scalia in 86.
With only about 20 seconds here, is there at the very least a very clear distinction between these two men as vice presidential candidates on the issue of abortion? About 20 seconds.
Absolutely. I think there's a clear distinction. With Ryan, I think you have somebody who would support a pro-life position and pro-life legislation and judges that would interpret the Constitution fairly.
Dr. Frank Beckwith is professor of philosophy and church-state studies at Baylor University and author of several books, including Politics for Christians, Statecraft as Soulcraft. Thank you very much for being our guest.
Thanks for having me.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Dr. Dean Wenthy about sacraments in the Old Testament. That should be interesting. Also tomorrow, staying in the Old Testament, we'll discuss that character. He is very difficult to explain in the Old Testament, Samson. He makes for great Sunday school stories, but man, does he kill a lot of people. Pastor Tom Baker will be our guest to talk about Samson tomorrow on Issues Etc. Coming up at the very beginning of November, the 2nd and the 3rd, that's a Friday and a Saturday, Issues Etc. 24, that's our live 24-hour broadcast of Issues Etc. beginning Friday, November the 2nd, running through Saturday, November the 3rd. It's all live. It's got the greatest guests that we could assemble for that 24-hour broadcast in two-hour blocks, talking about theological subjects from the Trinity to Christ to original sin to Christ's return in judgment all over those 24 hours. Help us promote it. Share the YouTube video at our website, issuesetc.org, right there at the bottom of the page. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Here's an opportunity for you to get up to 75% off many of the resources you hear us promote on Issues Etc. It's Concordia Publishing House's warehouse sale from 8 in the morning till noon on Saturday, November 3rd. Concordia Publishing House is located south of Interstate 44 at 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis. The 2012 warehouse sale, Saturday morning, November the 3rd at Concordia Publishing House, 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis.
Mount Zion Lutheran Church in Greenfield, Wisconsin, is a congregation of those gathered by the Spirit of the Lord around His saving Word and sacraments. At the center of our life together is the divine service of the risen Jesus, the Lamb of God who was slain, who takes away the sin of the world. If you are in the Milwaukee area, we invite you to share with us in our Lord's gifts of forgiveness and new life. Services are on Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9 a.m. For more information, visit our website at MountZionGreenfield.org.